Jonathan Kraft inside the owner's box, and he's in sunny Florida, 85 degrees, beautiful day for a football game. If you're in Miami, Jonathan, do you have the same feeling when you go to Miami and you head down there as an owner as you did when you were a fan?
When I was a kid, we would come to some games, and I was at the AFC Championship game back after the 85 season in January of 86. And you always, if you grew up a Patriot fan, you were always scared to death of the Dolphins. And it's still hard to break that feeling from childhood where you just feel like you come down here and the odds are really stacked against you. Not that it's any different now. I think this is a very good football team. But I still have that memory of a kid, like, these are the Dolphins, and this is Don Shula's team, and you started with Greasy, and then you went to Marino, and you view them with a lot of trepidation and a lot of respect. And even in the last recent past, you know, we've had some tough, some difficult games down here. In terms of playing on the road in the division, this has clearly been the toughest place for us, so... The feeling is definitely still there, and the one really good thing about playing in Miami, though, is you know there's always going to be a lot of Patriot fans here because there are so many displaced New Englanders, and you see it today. The place has got a lot of Patriot jerseys here.
Well, and it's a hat and T-shirt day, hat and T-shirt game, and those never get old.
Yes, they never get old. The opportunity never gets old. You got to win them. And hopefully we will, but there was definitely in the locker room an understanding that today we can accomplish the first of the milestones that we set out for us at the start of the season. And to be able to do that in week 14 is a good thing, and then it sets you up and puts you in a position to hopefully go out and achieve your second milestone. So I think there's definitely an understanding that we have the opportunity to do that today, and I think the guys respect what that opportunity means.
Well, and Jonathan, the road to milestone number two, which is number one seed home field throughout, got a heck of a lot clearer on Thursday night. And if this team ends up the number one seed, this will have been... I don't want to call the oddest road, I guess the most unlikely team to end up possibly being a number one seed. It's all in front of you. And given everything that has happened this year, I know for me, I never could have envisioned this team being able to control where they finish because of all the injuries.
Well, Gresh, if we're lucky enough to get to that point and actually achieve it, we can talk about whether we were unlikely or not. And I know you weren't assuming anything. I'd prefer
sure.
not to talk about it unless we get there. But I will say that's why the NFL is so great. You watch what happened Thursday night, and I don't even think it's that the Broncos played that badly. It's that the San Diego Chargers, even though their record is 7-7 or 6-7, whatever it is, The difference between the teams that people perceive are the elite and just average teams is very small. And on a short week, San Diego goes into Denver and plays flawlessly. They played great football, and that's what makes the NFL. We talk about it a lot, but that's what makes the NFL so special. And I think to sit here today with 3 weeks to go and project out, the one thing I'm sure of is a handful of things that we don't expect to happen over the next 3 weeks will definitely happen. And they'll happen in the AFC, they'll happen in the NFC, and people will be talking about it. And as we go into the playoffs, people might think they know what's going to happen, but they won't. And I just hope we get to be a part of it for a really long time into February.
Well, we all know about Gronk, and it was just a shame because we wanted to see that kid back on the field, and we know how he loves to play the game. But that brings us to player safety, and we were talking about this with Bert Breer, and I said, Bert, what's going to happen in the offseason? Because there's always a reaction to things like this. And Bert seemed to think that it wasn't necessarily Gronk's injury, but Dustin Keller's injury, where there'll be a penalty for a defenseless receiver from the knee down. And, you know, Jonathan, I realize that I'm just sitting here on my fat butt watching these games, and I'm not out there putting it all on the line. But it just seems to me that even when you talk to the players, and I've talked to some players, I've talked to ex-players, they don't want more rules. I mean, players are well aware of the risk that they are taking when they step on the field. Are we in danger of damaging the game here by reacting to every injury, as catastrophic as it is, with some sort of new penalty or new rule?
There's a lot in that question.
I'll get
to the last part in a minute, but backing up to Gronk, it's hard. Gronk worked so hard, and we've talked about it during the season, to get back and play, and so it's horrible to see a guy that's worked so hard and is so passionate about it and has contributed so much to the team have an injury like that happen. That being said, the injury that happened to Gronk is a legal hit, and I'm not sure there that other than the media starting to talk about new rules about where defenders can hit and where they can't hit, I'm not sure that there is a lot of talk at the league level about that yet. The competition committee will start meeting in February, and then that'll start to become more of a topic. But I think player safety at the highest level is going to continue to get looked at each offseason. And I'm sure every type of hit will get analyzed. You'd be amazed at the statistics that they have and how these coaches and general managers and a couple of owners who have deep football experience sit down and go through everything. And everyone is really cognizant of not wanting to change the rules of the game. And I remember this past offseason, there was huge debate about the crown of the helmet rule with the running backs. And we've gone into the season here, and I have to tell you, I think it's a great rule because you've seen running backs use the crowns of their helmets much less, and I don't think it's affected the game. And I will see the statistics at the end of the year, but I think head and neck injuries are down with those guys because of it. And I think the committee is smart about how they respect what the game is and looking at it, and everyone is cognizant of the fact that you can't make huge changes. They're going to make football different, but sometimes the public thinks that these changes will make it different, and it turns out it's not the case. And I really do think the crown of the helmet issue is a good example of that.
Jonathan, there was a league meeting this past week. I love the league issue type stuff, but this time it doesn't really have to do with money. It has to do with the owners and you guys discussing the possibility of centralizing the replay system in New York, a la the NHL, the way they do it in Toronto. Are you getting a sense that maybe there's some real steam to this, that this really could happen? And is it to speed up the game, or is it just because it makes sense?
I think that if we do it, and this is just started to be talked about. Mm-hmm. If it ever happens, I think the real impetus for it is to try to get a truly consistent interpretation of what is supposed to be called, being done by somebody sitting in a controlled environment in New York with lots of screens, no music playing, no crowd noise, no weather affecting it, but just somebody who then does this on a regular basis, or a few people who it's their job to do this, so they'll get faster at it, the consistency of the interpretation of the rules, which is hard. I mean, if you're one of these refs and the pace of the game is what it is, these players are so fast, you see what you see in an instant, every official on the field has their own role, you make a call, and then you got to go under the hood and interpret it in the moment with everything going on. And I think technology now has gotten to a point where we feel like, and the game, the speed of the game just gets faster and faster and faster, and the camera views get better and better and better. If there's a way to centralize it, get true consistency in the rulings themselves, and maybe do it more efficiently from a time perspective, although I think that's a second tier consideration, then you have to look at it. But I think if we ever, ever, ever went that way, you would first see it experimented with in preseason. And if we ever did cut the cord to do that, it would be only after a lot of thought and a lot of trial had gone into it.
You know, I found it interesting, Jonathan, that Bill Belichick talked about, each play being challengeable That is some really big picture thinking, and I've always said that, you know, I wish Bill would get on the competition committee, because I'm really serious about that.
No, hey, Grash, yeah. You really don't. Those guys, for the whole month of February, are so busy. I think if you're a Patriot fan, and I know you are, you want Bill in Foxborough. When he retires, if he wants to be on it, great. But I think we'd all be much happier. Bill's adding a lot more value to the Patriots being in Foxborough in February instead of doing that. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, but you're part of the crew. It pays his salary, so you want him focusing on the Patriots. But he obviously would have a lot of good ideas for the game. And I just found it curious that, you know, it's almost like floating it out there about making every play challengeable and really leaving it up to the head coach to make the call.
Well, now that every turnover and every scoring play is reviewed automatically, I think giving the coach more discretion on what really matters to him makes a lot of sense. Because, you know, a PI call 45 yards down the field at an important moment might be more important than a guy stepping out of bounds on a 7-yard out in the fourth quarter. And you got to let him make that. I think Bill's saying for a coach to be able to take full advantage of it and use it competitively to help his team, that's what makes the most sense. And I think I haven't talked to Bill about it, but that's the sense I get from his comments. And I think what he talks about does make a lot of sense, and maybe we'll start to move in that direction if guys on the competition committee see he suggested it.
All right, thanks a lot, Jonathan. I'd love to be in the room if Bill was on the competition committee, by the way. That would be a reality show right there. All right, take care. Safe travels. Enjoy the game.
Take care, guys. Talk to you next week.